Well, Mark has graciously allowed me just a few minutes to give you a little history of my background. As Mark had mentioned, I was a Jehovah's Witness for a period of about 4 years, and so I thought I'd just tell you a story about how that happened and where it led to. When I was growing up, I had moved from Arizona to California about 9, 10 years old, and I lived right beside the LA International Airport, and one day, a couple of young brothers came to our house and asked if I would be interested in participating with them in a Bible study. I was fairly young at that time, and my parents were not what I consider regular church attenders. They'd go on the high holy holidays, you know, like Christmas and Easter, and that was about it. And so I was what I would be considered a ripe picking for the Jehovah Witness, someone that had a very nominal understanding of Scripture. And I think if my parents had at least been attending on a regular basis at a regular church, that probably would have prevented what ensued for the following 4 years. What happened was is that they wanted to set up a Bible study with myself and my younger brother, and I readily accepted that. My parents didn't see any problem with that. And I was at that point in my age where I was beginning to have a lot of questions and interests in things spiritual. And so it seemed that my parents didn't seem to have any objection to it. So what ensued then was just a weekly Bible study with these young men. But as I started participating in this with them, they began pressuring me to involve my parents in this organization. They began telling me that it was necessary for my parents to also get involved, and they encouraged me to try to encourage them to come to the Sunday worship service at the local Kingdom Hall. My parents eventually conceded. They felt guilty, and especially with my prodding, decided to start attending. And it was maybe a few months later that they got involved in the evening Bible studies that they would have. If there's anything you'll learn very quickly about Jehovah's Witnesses, my gosh, they have Bible studies almost every night of the week. And so they seem very religious. And so my parents became involved, and they later joined. And it wasn't too long, maybe about a year, year and a half later, that my younger brother and sister began to complain because we had to give up birthday presents, birthdays, period, Christmas, Christmas presents. We couldn't celebrate any normal holiday. And I didn't have a problem with that, but my younger brother and sister did. So after about a year and a half, my parents decided to drop out of this organization. They just could not toe the line, so to speak. But I found, on the contrary, that I became very loyal, very dedicated to this group. I had already stopped giving the Pledge of Allegiance, which was a requirement of a member in good standing, that you not stand up and give the Pledge of Allegiance in the school. And you have to remember that this was back in those years when young people were very patriotic. In fact, the whole society back in those years was very patriotic. And for somebody not to refuse to give a Pledge of Allegiance was definitely going to receive some criticism. So I was persecuted by my fellow classmates. But instead of actually beginning to weaken in my resolve, I actually became hardened. I began to realize that weren't the biblical patriarchs persecuted for their beliefs? This must be the true religion, because look at the persecution I'm receiving. The other thing I want to mention to you is that every Sunday service in the Kingdom Hall was essentially a service committed to pointing out certain individuals that were being persecuted for their faith in whatever part of the world. So you begin to build this mentality that, hey, if you're a Jehovah's Witness, you're going to be persecuted for your faith. And so you begin to develop this mentality of we're the group that gets persecuted. And I'll tell you what, that becomes deadly, because it actually becomes a false basis for your faith simply because you're being persecuted to assume that therefore means it's the right church. So as I mentioned, my parents finally dropped out, but I decided I was going to continue and stay in this group. And so I stayed in there for a number of years. But then eventually my parents decided at one point they wanted to start attending a liberal Baptist church. This was a church where my uncle and my aunt had been married in, and they invited us to attend. At first, I really resisted this, but through the encouragement of the Jehovah's Witnesses, because I was still a minor, they said, you need to obey your parents, but just don't give up your attendance at our Bible studies and coming out every Saturday to go door-to-door with us. By the way, by that point in time, I wasn't going out just Saturdays. I was also going out in the middle of the week. And although I was told not to do this, I even went out on my own. Normally, you only see Jehovah's Witnesses at your door two by two. But I felt that in order to try to earn God's respect and to deserve my resurrection into paradise, not heaven, into paradise, I felt that I had to do more than what any other Jehovah Witness was doing. And so I was going out Wednesdays, I was going out Saturdays, I was going to 2 Bible studies a week. But you know what? If you're familiar enough with the Jehovah Witnesses, you'll realize that what they are modern-day Pharisees. And they love to boast in front of others about what good works they're doing and how many times they went out. Well, when I would hear this, it only make me more unsettled and make me feel like I got to go out 3 times a week. I got to go out 4 times a week. And so what you end up doing is you develop this mentality that no matter how hard you strive, you can never quite measure up. And so it becomes obsessive. So anyways, now I'm going 3-4 times a week, but my parents want me to go to this Baptist church. Incidentally, this is the church where Debbie and I eventually met and were married in. But at that time, I was in the junior high Sunday school class, and I decided if I have to go, I'm going to make this time valuable. So I'm going to start trying to convert everybody in that class to become Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, what happened is that there were 2 teachers in there that were very patient with me and began planting seeds of doubt in my mind, particularly with respect to the deity of Christ. Because that was, even in a liberal Baptist church, was foundational. They began putting questions to me. And I'd take these questions back to the people that I was conducting these Bible studies with. And at first, they were very patient with me. But you know what happened after a few weeks of presenting these questions to them? That patience wore thin. And after a while, they began basically reading a letter of the law to me, that if I don't stop asking questions and just accept the doctrine that they're teaching me without question, that I was going to be possibly risking being excommunicated from that group. Well, that had just a negative effect with me. It didn't make me succumb. It made me resistant. I became rebellious against that. And I decided I'd start tapering off in my attendance with this group. I would like to tell you at that point that I came under the gospel and became a believer, but that's not what happened. What had happened is because I'd spent 4 years in this organization, essentially wasting my time, it hardened my heart. And what I became is a skeptic. And I began to question anybody, any authority, anybody who tried to assert authority over me, I began to question. But I also had picked up some really bad understanding. As a result of spending 4 years with that group, I had acquired the understanding that in order to be saved, one had to achieve a level of holiness before God would save you. And I carried that baggage with me through the next couple years in church. Well, Debbie and I were eventually married. I was not a believer then, neither was Debbie. But she became saved shortly after we were married and started wanting to involve me in another Bible study. Well, red flags go up when I hear Bible study because I'd already been through this experience. And so it was a while, a period of time before I finally, and I have to say that we finally moved, changed church to a church where the gospel was presented. And at that point, God opened my eyes to the truth. Before I get there, though, I'd like to tell you real quickly how I ended my relationship with the Jehovah's Witnesses, because I kind of did it in a dramatic fashion. In this period of time where I began to question everything and became a skeptic, 2 young men in white shirts, black skinny ties, came riding their bicycles to my door one day. I said, "Oh, well, deja vu, where have I seen this before?" Turns out they're Mormons. And they were every bit as emphatic that they were the true church as the Jehovah's Witnesses had been. Well, you know me, I want to cover all bases. So I decide, all right, I'll go visit the Mormon church. I made a mistake of filling out those visitor cards, put that in the box. Next thing I know, I've got Mormons coming to my door weekly wanting to have a Bible study with me. And I decided the appropriate way to end this is I'll invite both the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons to my house at the same time. So I did. One evening, I had both 4 people, 2 Mormons, 2 Jehovah's Witnesses in my house. My parents weren't there, and it was pandemonium, folks. They were arguing back and forth, and I finally asked them to leave the house. And as they were walking down the driveway, I remember them jamming their fingers at each other in anger. And I decided that's the point where I wanted nothing to do with religion. I went to the church mainly because it was a nice social environment, and I enjoyed the people I'd gotten to know there. But I had essentially given up on religion because I had adopted this attitude that you just simply can't know the truth. That it's out there, but you can't learn it. And so that's what had hardened my heart. But I want to go to the scriptures just real quick and leave a few minutes for questions to answer, because I want to show you and I want to answer Jane's question as to why do people come involved in this group. Because it's right here. If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to begin in verse 22, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22.
says, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their own senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. There was a woman. I told you, I went door to door on my own. There was one evening I came to a house where the woman invited me in and proceeded to share her testimony with me. And what she shared with me is her love for God and her absolute conviction and the trustworthiness of Scripture. But the thing that resonated with me is the fact there's a woman that loves God. I fear God. I don't love God. Because God is someone who I have to fear because I can never please Him. And I left that house really shaken, because what I started thinking is that here is a woman that loves God sincerely, and I believe that. She sincerely loves God. How could God refuse to allow this woman into paradise simply because she's not a Jehovah Witness? Now remember, the Jehovah Witness makes much appeal to rational thinking. And I'm using rational thinking, and something doesn't make sense here. And so that had an impact on me, and I carried that with me. And I think it set the stage for my eventually leaving that group. Because according to their theology, this woman would never be resurrected to eternal life in paradise. Not heaven, but a returned paradise on earth. And therefore, simply because she's not a Jehovah Witness. But let me read a little further, because here's the key to Jane's answer. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, strong-headed or headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and here's the key, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. From of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, here's the Jehovah Witnesses, always learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. That was me. Always learning, but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And do you know why people fall for this? Because they're weighed down with sins. They're weighted down with sins. And what appeals to a person who's weighted down with sins? Many works. What does a rational human mind appeal to or lean towards when they're weighed down with sins? I've got to earn God's respect. I've got to earn my salvation. And that's the reason, Jane, why people get caught up in this. They're weighed down with sin. And they don't know how to escape that other than to try to work their way out of it. And the Jehovah Witnesses hand them the greatest, most impressive line of works that you have to perform. You have to give up this. You have to give up holidays. You have to give up birthdays. You have to come to church 3 times a week. And it's even more demanding than Roman Catholicism, whom they draw heavily from. So since it's works-oriented, it appeals to those that are weighed down with sins. And that's the answer. Now, how I came to know the Lord was eventually I did hear the gospel. And as I just read, God eventually prepared my heart and my mind for it. And when I recognized that I needed to place my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ and not in myself, then it made sense. Because all that time I've been trying to put my faith in myself, to try to acquire at some point a level of recognition of good works from God that God would approve of me and allow me to be saved. But once I realized I needed to transfer that trust off of myself and put it on Jesus Christ and His finished work, that's when I became saved.